Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Happy Easter. Brothers and sisters that was dead. Happy Easter. Mercy. You should have been in the sunrise service this morning. Maybe you'd gotten woke up by now. I've had a fabulous week. We had an amazing Good Friday noon service. I had somebody ask me, what time did the Friday good noon service start? Duh, noon. Fabulous, fabulous service over at Kenwood. Spirit of God fell fresh among us. And then this morning up on the hill at the cemetery, God's Spirit once again visited with us. And so let me just go ahead and forewarn you, His Spirit is here with us right now. Hallelujah. He is with us. A lot of work's gone into making Easter special. I want to thank our building and grounds crew and the folks who have done all the beautification out front, and Audra and Jim Henry put the cross up that's got flowers in there. And anyways, you'll hear all about that in the announcement. I thank God for our people who don't have they've got a mind to work and to serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, I didn't mention your group, but it's coming, all right? If you have a Bible this morning, and by the way, all of our guests and visitors, we want you to feel comfortable in here with us. We are so thankful that you've chosen to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday with us. We're blessed to have you. And you've been prayed for already. Did you know that? And you Second Mile saints that aren't here on Wednesday nights, you've been prayed for. We moved through the sanctuary on Wednesday night and prayed for this whole place. So God's with us. Amen. And if you've got the scripture, will you stand as we honor God's word? I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. When you get there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say I'm slow. All right. You told the truth, so we'll wait. Okay. Everybody got your mechanical device and electronic device and old school Bible with you? All right. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S. Say amen. Amen. If indeed the Spirit of God, capital S, dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And so either you got the Spirit or you don't. Pretty plain. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. You see, our bodies are under the curse of sin. We've been forgiven of our sin, but we're still under that, the consequences, the curse of sin, and that's death, separation. But the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him, now listen to this, watch this, lean in, behold, here we go, Second Mile. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Man, I've said a mouthful there. Woo! Therefore, brethren, since we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, capital S, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, and you can add the daughters of God. Father, would you bless the reading, the teaching, the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. God, bless your word today. Speak life to us. God, for those that don't have the Spirit, may the Spirit raise people from death unto life. And for those that do have the Spirit, Oh God, help us to surrender totally to the control of the Spirit this morning. We ask it in the mighty name, in the one who saved us, in the name of Jesus, the resurrected Lamb of God. In His name we pray, amen. Well, be seated if you can. There's a little 5-year-old boy named Brian. True story. Now, Brian had a part in the Easter program that their church was putting on. And, you know, a lot of churches do Easter programs. And Brian had only had two lines in the play, but they were the most significant lines. Brian's lines were, "He is not here. He is..." Those were his lines. And so the children were practicing the program, and for weeks they were putting this Easter program in place. And so it became the day for the time of the program. And so they got rolling, and about 3/4 of the way through the program, it came time for Brian's lines. "He is not here, he is risen." But Brian all of a sudden froze, and he forgot his lines. He forgot the words. And he looked up at the director with these big, huge eyes. And the director is standing there silently mouthing the words. Did that 2 or 3 times. And finally, Brian grabs a microphone and says, "He is not here. He's in prison." You never know what some silly preacher's going to come up with. I want to tell you, we are not in prison. I don't talk about being in prison. I want to talk about the resurrected Lord and Savior. He has been raised from death unto life. And by the way, because Jesus has been raised, you can have life too. And not just any kind of life. Y'all need to pray for me this morning. I'm kind of an emotional guy. How many of you know that? And whatever it is, I'm gonna be all in. And we're all in this morning, amen? None of this half in, half out, half committed. We're all in this morning, right? It's Easter Sunday. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's Easter." Hallelujah. So we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus this morning. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in human history. It changed everything. And Christians, brothers and sisters, it's the game changer for us. Y'all understand that? I mean, there's no other religion that has what we have. We have a Savior who died for our sins so we could be forgiven. We have a Savior who was buried so that our sins could be put away. And we have a Savior who was raised from the grave unto life so that we could have life eternal. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, if Christ is not raised, we're still in our sin. If His bones are somewhere over in some grave in the Middle East, our loved ones are in hell this morning. There's no hope for us. And the Scripture says if Christ is not raised, we of all people are to be pitied more than any person on the planet. But hallelujah, He is risen. And He is raised. Never to die again. And so, by the way, there's more evidence that Christ was raised from the dead than there is for all the Roman Caesars that have ever lived. Now, 6 out of the last 7 Easters, I preached on the evidence for the resurrection. But this morning, I want to take a little bit different slant. I want to talk for just a minute, for just a little bit different perspective about the fact that Jesus, yes, He was raised. He was resurrected. But I want us to get a glimpse of the resurrected life and the implications that resurrected life has for us. Are you ready? Did you come with a sense of anticipation this morning? Did you come with a sense of expectation this morning? Did you come prayed up, stored up, and stayed up? All right. If you didn't, you're in for a surprise. Hallelujah. So it's Easter Sunday. Let's talk about the resurrection life for just a minute if we could. So the first truth out of this the tenor and tone of this text tells us that our spirit, your spirit, must be resurrected to life. Your spirit, it's imperative, has to be resurrected to new life. Why do you say that? Well, you've heard it said many times that you are a body and a soul and a spirit. You're a Trinity with a small t. All right? Now, let's talk about the body and the soul and the spirit for just a minute. Your body's going to die. This is not the land of the living. Now, I know you didn't come here to hear that, but because of the curse of sin, our bodies are one day going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, the Scripture says. And so we're all going to die. Your body's going to die. You can tell by looking, what color is this? It used to be kind of blondish brown. I've even got some of these, what do they call these spots on your hands now? Yeah, you know what that is? That means I'm an old man. My body's decaying. My body's going downhill. And bless God, yours is too. The moment you're born, you're old enough to die. And because of the curse of sin, I don't want to drag this out any longer, but we're going to die. Our bodies are going to the grave. I was at a funeral yesterday. Mercy. And then your soul is not dead. Your soul is not dead. And your soul is never going to die. It's going to live for all of eternity. Your soul is who you are. Your soul is what makes you act the way you act. Think the way you think. Your soul is what makes Teddy Bigger wear the peace signs on the t-shirts. He's got about 30 of them. And so your soul's going to live somewhere. What about my spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. Your spirit, the very moment, now your spirit is what causes you and enables you to worship God and to love God and to serve God and to obey God. That's your spirit. The spirit that lives in you. But that spirit, the moment you sinned, died. You see, we're born into sin and then we choose to sin. And like we tell them at the Good News Club, right, JD? Where's JD? He's in the back. Hallelujah. Sin is anything we say, think, or do that breaks God's commandments, breaks God's law, and makes God sad. And so when you sinned, you knew it was wrong, and you did it anyway, right then your spirit died. And Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And so everyone here, more than likely, now there is an age of accountability, but I don't know when that is, that you're not accountable for your sin. You don't know what sin does to you. You don't understand sin. But the moment you understand and you know it's wrong, and you do it right then, that's when your spirit dies. Y'all with me? And so your spirit needs to come to life. And here is the deal. Ephesians 2:4 says that God's spirit gave our spirit life. Look at somebody and say, life. Tell somebody, you need life. In more ways than one. Ephesians 2:4 reveals again, God's spirit brought our spirit to life when you got saved, when you became a follower of Christ, when you became a believer. When you were born again, whatever you call that, that's when God's Spirit moved in your life and brought your spirit back to life. You were resurrected that day. And so, on the other hand, now, if you don't have that Spirit, if you don't have His Spirit, you're not one of His. You need the Spirit of Almighty God in you, capital S. Hallelujah. How do you know that, brother? Well, I don't know if I have His Spirit or not. Well, look at verse 16. Watch this. Lean in. Read this with me. The Spirit, chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God Himself, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are children of God. If you're saved, you have His Spirit in you. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in your life and raised you to new life. Are y'all with me so far? Some of y'all have got the moon calf look. Are y'all with me? You understanding this? I want to be sure I'm communicating with everybody. And so, this is kind of review for some of us that went through the surrender series, but 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And so your body houses the Holy Spirit of God. That's an amazing truth. If you're born again, you've got the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in your life, in your spirit. Hallelujah. You don't understand what power it took to raise Jesus from the dead? Well, if you're born again, you've got that same power. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God lives in you. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Y'all, this is review for some of you that were here for the surrender stuff. In order for the Spirit, He gives life, eternal life and abundant life to you. He comes in, but He even gives us the power to have victory over sin. Ooh-wee. And so if you're a believer, you ought to sin less. But He doesn't completely eradicate sin in our lives when He saves it, but that's coming. A little bit later in the sermon. Just hang on to me, okay? One day you're going to be saved to sin no more. Elbow your spouse and say, thank God. Now, here's how the Spirit of God that lives in you gives you victory over temptation. Now, you'd have to pay big bucks at a conference to get this. All right? But if you want to have victory over your sin, here's what you need to do. The Spirit of God lives in you, and you just need to simply turn control of your body, your mind, your will over to the control of the Spirit. And He'll give you victory over sin. Amen. He will. He said He would. That same resurrection power is available for victorious Christian living. And some of us are living far below what God died and buried and rose again to save us from. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is turn control of the temple over to the King. Amen. Y'all, that's good stuff right there. Turn control of your mind, your body, your spirit over to His Spirit, and He can help you to live the way. By the way, He will enable you to become like Christ. Woo! So here's the deal before we move on to this last point. Here's the deal. It's not, did you get all of the Spirit of God when you got saved? That's not the point. The point is, how much of you does the Spirit have? I think they got it back there in that corner. How much of the Spirit, how much of you does the Spirit have? That's the key. Have you turned everything over to Him? The way you think, the way you speak, your heart, your actions, your deeds, everything. Does the Spirit of God control all of that for you? Have you turned it over to Him? If you have, say yes. If you're not sure, say, I don't know. Well, I want to tell you, that's the key today. And so I've come here today to ask you, does God have all of you? Have you surrendered to Him with everything that you are to everything that He is? That's where the victory is, brothers and sisters. Y'all got it? So y'all see the need for our spirit to be resurrected by His Spirit? That's it. Here's the second one. Look at verse 11 again. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, as I mentioned before, our bodies are still subject to death. We're under the consequences of sin. Our bodies are going to die. But one day, if His Spirit has given life to your spirit, you're going to get a brand new body. You're not ever going to have to worry about anything else. You're going to get a body like Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read some scripture to you. Now, don't pass out on me, but I'm going to read over a dozen verses to you, okay? Just listen to me. You don't have to go there. Here it is. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. Is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Are y'all with me? Y'all following? Y'all leaning in? Y'all hearing this? It gets better. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the way your body is can't enter into heaven because your bodies are cursed with sin. Stay with me now. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Blink your eye once with me right now. The twinkling of an eye is faster than that. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at your neighbor and tell them, that's you. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hallelujah. Immovable. Glory to God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Praise Jesus. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Woo! Right now, your body is clothed in mortality. I was at a funeral yesterday, and I was reminded again of my mortality. I'm just a mortal. I'm pushing 70. I'm 68, not 70 yet. But I started thinking about that in my 60s. I'm just mortal. I mean, my story's coming to an end. But one of these days, hallelujah, I'm going to be clothed in immortality. You see, my body was sown in corruption. But one of these days, my body's going to be raised in incorruption. My body was sown in dishonor, but one day my body's going to be raised in glory. This is so good. I'm tongue-tied, it's so good. My body was sown in weakness, but my body's going to be raised in power. My body was sown a natural body, but it will be raised in a spiritual body. We're talking about a glorified body. We're talking about a body like Jesus. We're talking about a body, Bobby Smith, you'll never get sick again. We're talking about a body where there'll be no more sin. You'll never sin again. Amen, David Fry. Hallelujah. We're talking about a body where, Lisa, there'll be no more cancer, no more chemo, no more radiation. We're talking no more heart attacks, no more strokes. We're going to have your body will be able to travel at the speed of thought. Well, I think I'll head over to Walmart. Boom, you're there. By the way, in my glorified body, I ain't going to Walmart. I don't go to Walmart now. Woo. It's kind of like this, y'all. I did a lot of thinking about this resurrection body. Your body today will be somewhat like that resurrection body. It'll be the same, but it'll be different. But it's going to be a whole lot better. It's kind of like Ellen and Thomas. It's kind of like getting a new upgrade on your word processing software. It's the same, but yet it's better. There are new features, new surprises. It's just better. No more glitches. Are y'all following me? And so we have this glorified body like Jesus. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? This is a lady who was paralyzed from a diving accident at the age of 17. She broke her fourth vertebrae, severed it. And so she's been paralyzed pretty much from the... She's got a little movement with her arms, but she can't use her face. She paints, puts the brush in her mouth and paints masterpieces. She's got a ministry called Johnny and Friends. And she ministers to physically and mentally challenged people all over the world who are hurting. She's got a great ministry. Google Johnny Erickson Tada when you get home tonight. Today. She's 75 years old now. And I wrote this down because I wanted to get it right. Listen to this. She says, somewhere in my broken, paralyzed body. Man, I'm sitting here thinking about my mama. Is the seed of what I shall become. The paralysis I have today makes me what I am to become all the more glorious when I contrast the atrophied, useless legs over and against those resurrection legs. I will still be Johnny, but a much better, brighter Johnny. Brothers and sisters, I've said all of that to say this morning. Inside your body, even if it's failing, even if it's going downhill, is the blueprint for your resurrection body. You may not be satisfied with your current body or mind. I've had a blue dozen women tell me this week, I don't have anything to wear. You're not ever going to have to worry about that stuff again. You'll be thrilled with your resurrection upgrade. I said you'll be thrilled with your resurrection upgrade. You'll be even better to glorify and to serve and to love Jesus. You'll be light years ahead of where you used to be. But you'll be somewhat... I told the folks over at the Sunrise Service, we were talking about our resurrection bodies, and I said, y'all will see old Brother Cal, and you'll look at me and you'll say, is that you, Brother Cal? And I'll say, yes. God's going to give us resurrection bodies, never to die again, never to sin again, never to get sick again, never to be sad again, never. I mean, man, it's going to be, your resurrection body is a place of no mores, no more bad stuff. You're getting a resurrection upgrade if the Spirit has brought your spirit to life. Hallelujah. But I've said that. You can't get that resurrection body unless God has saved your spirit. Unless He has really... Now, I'm not... There's a lot of mess going on today about just what does it take to be saved. This is the most important time of the service. Everybody listen. Everybody listen right here at me. Right here. What does it take to really be saved? What does it take to be born again? What do I need to do? Well, let me just tell you, religion does not save you. Your church will not save you. Your baptism does not save you. Your tithes and offerings does not save you. You cannot be good enough to be saved. The Bible says there's none good. You see, we compare our goodness to His goodness and we come up second best. We're short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you'd be willing to confess with your mouth today that Jesus is Lord, surrender everything to Him as the Lord of your life and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And by faith, believe that He will change you and ask Him to come into your spirit and save your spirit today. He will, but you've got to invite Him to do that. You've got to trust Him with all your heart and He will save you. He will bring your dead spirit to life. And you won't ever have to wonder again, am I saved? Am I one of God's children? Am I going to make it to heaven? You need to do that today. And those of you that are saved, brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming soon, and we had better sell out to Him every single fiber of our being right now. Today. That's what needs to be done. We always have a time of response at the end of the sermons here at Second Mile, and we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the altar today if you're a believer and surrender to God. When's the last time you've been to an altar? Some of you in here hadn't been to an altar in 40 years. Have mercy. That's a place to meet God. And lay down whatever it is that's keeping you from selling out to Jesus. And then for those of you that are not sure about your salvation, you've been trusting in your goodness and your righteousness and some other type of work, and you want to trust the finished work of Christ and ask Him to save you today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you'll pray these words and mean them with all your heart, God will save you right where you sit today. Amen. He's got a plan for your life that's out of this world, and the retirement plan is out of this world. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Where is Andrew? Andrew, you come. For those of you that want your spirit to be brought to life today, you want to be willing and ready to step out into eternity with Him, you pray like this. Father, I agree and I confess I am a sinner. I've done wrong. I've broken your commandments. And I need your forgiveness. Father, I believe your Son lived a perfect life. And He died to save all my sin. And so there's nothing I can do except receive what Jesus has done for me as a free gift. And right now, I don't completely understand everything, but I know I need Jesus. I need His Spirit to come into my spirit and change me. Would you do that today, Lord? Would you save my spirit so that one day I can be raised with a body like Jesus and be like Him? Do that today, Father. I'm doing what the Scriptures tell me to do by faith. Thank you for saving me. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer today, and by the way, this is not something you do over and over again. You do it once. You can only be born once physically, and you can only be born spiritually once. If you prayed to receive Christ today, would you just look right up here at me? Just look right up here. Everybody else has their head bowed, eyes closed. Just look right. Yeah, that's right. Just look right here at me. I only need to do this once. Did you pray? Do you believe you're saved? Are you ashamed of Christ and what He did for you? No. So I want you to just stand to your feet. We're not going to ask you to sing or play a song or preach a sermon. I just want you to stand to your feet. Wherever you are, just stand. We want to get some information to you. We want to get some books in. Thank you. God bless you. People standing, just go ahead and stand. We want to get some stuff in your hands and pray for you and thank God for your decision today. Right now, you need to step out for Jesus. This is your time. Right now, if you guys would just stand right back over here, but see that sign that says War Room? We got some guys that are going to meet y'all back there and get some stuff in your hands. We want to get your information. That's right, just get up and head right back to the War Room. Not going to ask you to do anything. We're not going to ask you to join the church. We just want to pray for you and pray with you. Now, you said you weren't ashamed. Get up and go. Right back there to the War Room. Deacons, this is your time. That's right, just head back that way. Now, the rest of you that are here evidently are saved. But you know you need to surrender wholeheartedly to Christ. And we're going to ask you right now we're going to ask you to turn control of everything over to everything that He is. Surrender to Him. Altar's open. I just want Andrew to play. You just play, brother. Sing if you want. Everybody stand. Altar's open. You come right now. Surrender. Salvation is one of the two things. If you prayed to receive Christ and you got questions, that's okay. Just come on. I'll help you. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're here. We sense your power. We sense your presence and your spirit among us. Thank you for coming to quicken our spirits today. Thank you for being here to place our hearts under conviction. Thank you, Lord, for challenging us today. Oh God, I desperately desire to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation." I don't want you to have any problem recognizing me when you come, Father. Oh God, make us ready. In Jesus' name, thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, let me just say a word to you. For those of you that made decisions today, we just want to get a Bible in your hands. We want to get got a little Get Started Right book in your hands. And if you'd like to get that, all you've got to do is see me or one of our deacons back here. And we'll pray for you and try to. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to do anything. We're just asking you, if you've received Christ today, let us help you get started right. And we don't want anybody leaving here lost. We love y'all. We love everybody. In Second Mile Church, this is Breakthrough 2025. We're going to see God do some amazing things. Already have. So I hope everybody will come back and join us next Sunday.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.